When we were asked to do a tag team sermon at Harvey Park, Georgine's immediate response was, "Is that like asking a couple to wallpaper together?" And I decided, well, I've known a number of couples who have wallpapered together and survived as a couple. And Georgine and I have survived two major construction projects since we've been married in the 2 years. So I thought maybe we could do a tag team sermon. But then happened to talk to Dean Phelps, our interim regional minister. And Dean, before he caught himself, Dean said, he and his wife Deb, who's also an ordained minister, they could wallpaper together, but had not had the nerve to do a sermon together. Is that true, Deb? So, and then he caught himself and said, maybe that didn't come out too good.
Even before we made the final decision to write this sermon, we were quickly able to decide on a topic, and that topic is community. After all, it's important to us personally, as we talked about getting married and where we were going to live, and oh my gosh, we can't leave my neighborhood. And so it's really important to us, but it's important to all Christians. And Jesus gave the most important commandment: love God with all of your heart and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. We decided we needed to explore that a little bit more.
Again, as Georgine said, community has been very important to us in a number of ways. The faith communities of which we are a part, very important. Community was an important factor. We had two wonderful neighborhoods to choose from on where we were going to live. Difficult decision, because that community of neighborhood was very important to us as we started our married life. When we began to explore the topic of community more, we realized how huge of a topic it is. Deciding on the scripture most applicable to a sermon about community was even more difficult. There are so many examples of community in the scriptures. The formation in the desert of the nation of Israel as a nation community, Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz, Jesus gathering his disciples, of course, and the growing community of the early church as told in Acts, and then also John 13:35. Everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another, and so many more.
We started by looking in the dictionary for definitions of community. Some of Webster's definitions of community include a group of people residing in the same locality, a group of people with common interests living in a particular area, the area or locality in which a group resides, a group or class having common interests.
Some additional definitions of community from Webster are a unified body of individuals, an interacting population of various kinds of individuals, a group of people with a common characteristic or interest.
Now, community can mean different things to different people. To our dog, Seamus, community means getting a treat from neighbors Yana, who is here today, or Lori, who is also here today, and the chance to get a tummy rub from anyone willing to give it. Seamus has been known to lay down in the middle of the street if he thinks that someone standing there will give him a tummy rub. Now, you might question his motives, but Seamus's idea of community may be closer to genuine community than some of Webster's definitions.
So what is the true definition of community? The vision of community is one of those things that is so large and multifaceted that it is best defined or described one characteristic at a time. Characteristics of genuine community include common ground, diversity, hospitality, inclusivity, communication, accountability, support, proximity, commitment, and consensus.
You can see there's an awful lot to this, and we're not going to hit every one of those today. We will try to focus on common ground, diversity, hospitality, proximity, closeness, inclusivity, accountability, and support, as well as trying to make it a little more personal for each of you.
For there to be true community, there needs to be something to connect the individuals together. In his book, The Different Drum, Community Making and Peace, M. Scott Peck says, quote, "Community is something more than the sum of its parts, more than the sum of its individual members. Just like the scripture says, just like the human body is more than just a sum of its parts. Just because there is close proximity does not mean there is true community. True community is relational. There has to be common ground and interaction for there to be genuine community."
Now, in the Christian community, our common ground is Christ. Among world religions, the common ground is the golden rule: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. In a world community, the most important common ground is that each one of us is a human being who needs to be treated as the unique child of God we are.
Looking beyond our common ground, if we are going to achieve true community, we need to appreciate the differences between us.
We need to celebrate the strength that comes from diversity. Just as the human body has many different parts, a community needs individuals with different strengths and gifts. Can you think of ways we celebrate diversity here at Mount Air, in our neighborhood community? How could that change your community where you live?
Hospitality is a very important characteristic of community. Henry J.M. Nouwen states it very strongly in his book, Reaching Out. Quote, "In our culture, the concept of hospitality has lost much of its power. But still, if there is any concept worth restoring to its original depth and potential, it is the concept of hospitality. It is one of the richest biblical terms that can deepen and broaden our insight in our relationship to our fellow human beings. Old and New Testament stories not only show how serious our obligation is to welcome the stranger in our home, but they also tell us that guests are carrying precious gifts with them, which they are eager to reveal to a receptive host."
Genesis 18, 1 through 15, tells the story of Abraham receiving three strangers at Mamre and offering them water, bread, and a fine tender calf. The strangers later revealed themselves to him as from the Lord, announcing that Sarah, Abraham's wife, would give birth to a son. In 1 Kings 17, 9 through 24, the widow of Zarephath offered food and shelter to a stranger who later revealed himself as Elijah, a man of God, who offered her an abundance of oil and meal and raising her son from the dead. Do you remember Luke's telling about the two travelers on the road to Emmaus who invited the stranger who had joined them on the road to stay with them for the night? The stranger made himself known in the breaking of the bread as their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Thus, the biblical stories help us to realize not just that hospitality is an important virtue, but even more that in the context of hospitality, guest and host can reveal their most precious gifts and bring new life to each other. The term hospitality, therefore, should not be limited to its literal sense of receiving a stranger in our house, although it is very important not to forget or neglect that. But it is also a fundamental attitude toward our fellow human being, which can be expressed in a great variety of ways. This summer, we traveled to my youngest nephew's wedding in Michigan, where we experienced wonderful examples of community.
Hospitality was at the top of the list of the things that we experienced. Instead of having to stay in a motel, we were invited and warmly welcomed into the home of a couple whom we didn't know. However, they are one of the pastors and his wife in the bride's family church, and we had wonderful conversations with them during the time we were there.
Several other church families opened their homes to young folks who had traveled to the wedding. Other church members prepared and served food throughout the weekend of the wedding.
Our nephew's new in-laws, in the middle of final preparations for a wedding, still managed to be gracious and wonderful hosts for meals and fellowship, in part because of their family of church, who provided food on a regular basis. Their church community quickly expanded as well to envelop people who they had not met before and who had never met each other before. People started working together. As we wandered around at the church, there were people putting things together for the fellowship afterwards, and they were working together to put the finishing touches on the wedding and the reception venues while enjoying fellowship along the way. This experience reminded us of the wonderful community of Harvey Park Church members, our family, our friends, two of whom are here today, who helped us, who made our wedding happen 2 years ago.
At the rehearsal of our nephew's wedding, we were also reminded of the responsibilities of individuals in community. When the pastor told the wedding party at the rehearsal that they were not just standing up for the couple the day of the wedding, but they also had a responsibility to give support to the couple's marriage and to hold the couple accountable to their vows.
The wedding highlighted an inclusive and multicultural community, going beyond family, drawing in people who could have been otherwise forgotten. Several young people from troubled backgrounds who had just graduated from a Christian support program drove all the way from California to celebrate the wedding of a young man, our nephew, who had made a positive impact on their lives. It was a wonderful feeling being welcomed into community and seeing others be included just as we were.
We learned about guests sometimes having precious gifts to offer in a very simple way when we offered two of the young guests a ride back to the airport after the wedding. On the way to the airport, I mentioned, I hope I can find my way around this airport and be able to get the rental car to the right spot. And one of her passengers says, I've been to the airport many times. I know it well. And said she could guide us. And she did a great job of getting us around to dropping off the other guest and getting us to the rental car place and so on. We had thought we were the ones offering her hospitality, but it turned out there were mutual gifts.
And I'm still in contact with that young lady today. She goes to Wheaton College, and she and I text occasionally, and it was a beautiful gift that we had.
As we turn our focus to our own community of faith, I would like to paraphrase part of a devotion by David McCaslin from Our Daily Bread. The biblical image of God as our shepherd is a powerful reminder of how much we need each other in the community of faith. When writing about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt, the psalmist said, God brought his people out like a flock. He led them like sheep through the wilderness. He guided them safely so they were unafraid. From Psalms 78:52-53. As part of God's flock, we who have trusted Christ are under his guiding, protecting hand while being surrounded by the shielding presence of others in that community of faith.
And continuing on with McCaslin's quote, we are part of a larger body of believers in which there is support and accountability. While we don't give up our personal responsibility for thought and actions as members of this flock, we are to embrace the concept of we rather than me in our daily lives. With Christ as our shepherd and with fellow believers around us, we find strength in the flock. End quote.
I'd like for you to take a look inside your bulletin. For those of you that have the larger one, like on the second sheet, for you, those of you who have the small ones, it's kind of on the inside, very inside there. The mission statement of Mount Air Christian Church that is printed there says, Mount Air Christian Church exists to reach, teach, and serve the Two Creeks, Mount Air Park community and beyond. That statement's in the bulletin every week. We need to continually focus on our mission. We have a strong commitment to both our faith community and the community around us. We need to continue to support one another and to keep each other accountable. And there's been a good example of this today with all the people that are participating in this service this morning that Laurie asked, will you help me lead singing? And I said, no way. That's not my strength. So glad her and to have Dave lead the pastoral prayer. We need to remember to welcome the stranger into our community. We need to be ready to welcome people who are unfamiliar, are of a different color, speak a different language, wear different types of clothes, or live a different lifestyle. We must not allow ourselves to become complacent. Just because we sometimes hear that we are a friendly church doesn't mean there isn't room for improvement.
And hospitality is not always easy. Sometimes we have to get out of our comfort zone and welcome the stranger, and I know sometimes that's difficult for me.
And again, in the words of Henry Nouwen, hospitality, therefore, means primarily the creation of a free space where the stranger can enter and become a friend instead of an enemy. Hospitality is not to change people, but to offer them a welcoming space where change can take place. As Scott Peck puts it, true communities, if they want to remain as such, as true communities, are always reaching to extend themselves.
My director at Front Range Community College is big on a gifts recognition test, which we have to take every couple of years. My scores always show that I'm high in the connector category, and I know I'm big on building relationships. It's one of the joys in my life. I like to pull people together so no one feels left out. My sister is the same way, as are several of my friends who are gathered here. But I think Jesus was the first connector, the first relationship builder. He wanted to include everyone and draw them into this circle of believers. He didn't and doesn't want anyone left out. Think of the woman at the well, the feeding of the 5,000, the woman who touched his robe as he walked, and of course his disciples. Think of our communion table. We serve open communion. We are inclusive and we connect. Everywhere Jesus went, he taught love and connection to his Father.
He didn't worry about whether someone was good enough to be part of the group. He recognized the strength in diversity.
As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Building relationships is every bit as important today, if not more so, in our let me have my head in my phone or tablet so I don't have to interact world. Isn't there someone with whom you should try to connect? Someone with whom perhaps the Holy Spirit is pushing on you to connect with?
This concept of community, especially world community, can become overwhelming or just plain become abstract. So how do we go about building community? How do we love our neighbor as ourselves? We can start right where we are. We can grow where we're planted. We can help strengthen and grow the communities we are already a part of, such as our community of faith here at Mount Air Christian Church. We can reach out into the neighborhood around us, both individually and through avenues like Whiz Kids or Pastor Joel's Edgewater Collective.
Every year, neighbors across the United States enjoy National Night Out. We are encouraged to turn off the TV, go outside, and visit with our neighbors. Our Arvada neighborhood celebrated National Night Out August 2nd with a hot dog roast. It was a chance to meet new folks who had moved in and greet others we hadn't seen in a while. Have you ever thought of having a block party? We do that in my community every once in a while and have a great time. And we honestly and truly meet new people who then become friends. Have you ever thought of inviting a couple you don't know very well over for a simple dinner?
This past summer, almost overshadowed by all the news stories of shootings and protests, was the story of a Black Lives Matter group deciding to share food and fellowship in a picnic with the police instead of holding a protest. They opened up communication with fellowship instead of with yelling and shooting.
In 2009, a group of about two dozen pastors from the Arvada area met with then-Mayor Bob Fry to talk about what could be done to help with the growing homeless population in Arvada and a growing older population. The pastors had proposals for several ways to help.
But Mayor Fry had a radical proposal. What if the pastors invited their congregations to go out and follow that love your neighbor commandment? What if Arvada folks did what Jesus commanded them to do? Love their neighbors, their real neighbors.
The pastors later confessed that they felt embarrassed that they hadn't suggested that. We as a society have made neighbors into everyone in the world, and that's a bit overwhelming. What if God really meant those folks in our very own blocks? A movement began where pastors started encouraging and challenging their congregations. Pastor Dave Runyon in The Art of Neighboring encouraged readers to map an 8-house radius around their homes, to meet everyone in those 8 houses and find out something about each family, and if there is a need, find a way to meet it. Can you name the people in the 8 houses around you? Can you tell something about each one? Lakewood Christian Church had a familiar statement on their outdoor street sign this summer. It said, "You know that love your neighbor thing? I meant it. God."
Jesus said, "Love your neighbor." He meant it. He practiced it. May we challenge you to do the same. Amen.
Amen.
If those who are able would